Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. The Thursday baseball doubleheader continues 1 hour from now. White Sox snapped their losing streak yesterday against the Rays. Tonight, Lucas Giolito looks to make it two in a row for the Southsiders when they open a series with the Minnesota Twins. Baseball night in Chicago previews the contest in a half hour. Jason and Stoney have the call at 7 o'clock. And the tank has rolled to a halt. Bulls season is over, but after 55 losses, John Paxson says the Bulls are in a better place now than they were last year. We'll ask Vincent Goodwill if he's right. And Zach LaVine is a restricted free agent. Will another team make him an offer the Bulls will have to refuse? And 2 weeks from today, the NFL draft will begin. Quentin Nelson visits Hallis Hall. Will he be the eighth pick? Or will they draft his replacement for a new Saint, Cam Meredith?
You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. And we knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult. And we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today and starting this summer to become the type of basketball team that we want to become.
All right, welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show, we have a star-studded cast. We have got the one and only Adam Hogue from WGN Radio. He's all over the Bears beat, and he's also got the Hogue and Johns podcast as well. We've got Vincent Goodwill. He is our Bulls insider here at NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com. David Haw, the lead columnist from the Chicago Tribune and The Score, and Patrick Finley, Bears writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. All right, John Paxson met with the media today, put a bow on a 55-loss season, but the Bulls have picked a direction, Vincent. So I ask you this, is season one of this new direction a success?
I don't think it's a net positive. I think people have been taking so many victory laps because of Lauri Markkanen's emergence and Chris Dunn's competence that they have forgotten exactly what this year was supposed to be about. One of them was supposed to be about determining talent. It was supposed to be determining if your young talent fit together. And that answer is kind of unanswered right now, wouldn't you say?
Maybe. 100%. It's a maybe, right?
Yeah.
Well, how many games did you get Markkanen, LaVine, and Dunn together?
But, 12, I think it was 12.
255 minutes.
It wasn't very long. It wasn't long enough.
That's what it was, 255 minutes.
I think that there's a rush to celebrate the fact that the Bulls are in a enviable position for the draft, which I think drives me crazy. We don't need to go there. But the fact they lost 55 games, they want to say, okay, that's by design. But I don't know that you – I think they are in better position they were a year ago because they have a direction, a clear-cut direction. But I don't know they got as much out of this season in terms of evaluating talent as they have.
All right, I got to get into it with you in a moment. But this is John Paxson on his big three.
I mentioned this to our team after Fred spoke to them last night. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. We need to have a great summer. We need Chris Dunn to have a great summer and come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen. Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and we're confident that they will.
So Pax on his big three, and they do have some talent. But are you going to really sit there and tell me it drives you crazy when people were fixated on the number of losses?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Dude, the fact that they
It does. It drives John Paxson crazy,
they
too.
I don't care. The fact that they beat the Timberwolves, stupid victory. There's four or five on there that could have you in a top three spot. Those are dumb victories. December meant nothing.
The best thing about today was that we no longer will have to deal with that sort of dumb rhetoric surrounding this
team. Why don't we just pick 16th? Because it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter, but I think that the constant conversation about the need to lose is bothersome. It bothers me.
But it's reality.
Well, you don't have to like reality, Cap. I don't like it. And John Paxson said reluctantly today he accepted it. They did what they had to do to address it. But to say that I like it, thank goodness it's over.
Well, who says that it's over?
If
you add the number six pick to these guys, that's still a bad basketball team, isn't it, Vinny?
I mean, it's not a great basketball team. Like, I don't know, because we're assuming that so many things are going to go right this offseason. This sixth pick is going to come in. Most six picks, they get things tailored to them. They get a chance to showcase. The Bulls have so many unanswered questions about this season and these players that they can't focus on if it's Mikal Bridges or Michael Porter Jr. and just add water and you'll be in the playoffs. Cap, it don't work like that, sweetie.
I don't disagree. I'm not picking them to be a playoff team.
The goal going into next year has to be make the playoffs. It isn't to lose 55 games.
No, it can't be to lose 55. Look, my goal is to date Kelly Rowland. It ain't realistic, but it's a goal.
Kelly, you
can call me if you
I applaud every effort that you would put forth to do that, to date Kelly Rowland. If you were trying, I would think great for you, because that's what sports is all about, trying to win.
You're stuck in a time warp. In a different time and space where sport was pure. Sport is no longer pure. It's tainted with things like the process and words like tanking and nonsense. That's what this is. That is the new world order that we're in. And the Bulls are trying to dip their toe a little bit in it, but not quite fully embrace it, which is why they're not in as good of a position as you like to think.
By the way, 65% on our Ink and Law poll question. Will the Bulls make the playoffs next season? Now, 68% say they will not.
Well, and that's what I was going to get to. And you use the word stuck. I think that applies to kind of where the Bulls were, because they were kind of stuck in the middle. If they had been so bad that they really were in full tank mode, that would have been fine. But they kind of got caught into, well, we also want them to all start gelling together. And as you brought up earlier, I don't know that that happened either. So they didn't really accomplish. I mean, it would have been great if they had the number one overall pick, which probably isn't going to happen.
Oh, they're winning the lottery. The fix is in.
Well, I'm fine with that, too.
The fix is in. I'm just laying
it out. You guys play Robin and Justin Holliday. We'll have a frozen card in there for you.
The fix is in.
And if I'm happily stuck in time, as you point out, that's okay. I think the league has to address the people that are. The league has a problem on its hands. And Stan Van Gundy articulated this last night very well, because it's okay to look, I know what's going on. I don't have to like it. I can be stuck in time, because that's what is the league should be.
I didn't say you were wrong.
The league should have integrity enough to make sure that there is no incentive in losing, because you, in the name of progress, you're taking one step toward point shaving, and you cannot do that as a league. You cannot do that as an organization that's worth, what was it today, $1.9 billion? Come on now.
I don't disagree with you, but as long as these are the rules, then play to these rules to the best of your ability, and don't get a meaningless win over the Timberwolves and get a meaningless win over the Celtics and go, hey, man, we picked up 14-7 in December. Get to the top of the draft.
Cap has lost what's left of his mind.
But Vinny, you mentioned they're trying to only put one toe in. When the league calls you and says you might want to play the veterans tonight, that's not one toe, is it?
Isn't it? That was a message to the other 10 teams in the league, and they just happened to eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, we're calling Michael Reinsdorf. I don't think that means anything.
And we'll give you a frozen
long time. Yeah.
It didn't really seem like all the other teams listened, though. Like, the Bulls were sort of forced to listen because they got the direct
call. But the
call.
Bulls did a good job of not listening the last week or so of the season. Sure. And that was some orchestrated losing there.
And here's, I think, honestly, my level of optimism for this franchise dimmed over the past 6 or 7 weeks. Not because of the tanking, but because of what I didn't see to finish the season. There's so many unanswered questions going into next season. We won't know whether their process is right or wrong, regardless of whether they get the first pick or the sixth pick. We won't know until we see this talent together this time next season.
Cal. By the way, Blair Hall, all over the computer right now, 56% are saying they will make the playoffs.
I don't think so. He doesn't watch. He's a hockey guy. He doesn't care what my NBA thoughts are. But I think that, you know, it was interesting today to hear John Paxson say that they weren't really, didn't sound like they're going to be real aggressive in free agency.
No.
Which suggests that they may be a year away from, you know, being that team that wants
They'll
to
be aggressive
the
summer 19.
Probably so.
They'll try to be.
But they will have the cap space.
There you go. Keyword there.
And depending on who's available, they're going to get 2 first round draft picks that will probably be able to have an opportunity to immediately make an impact. They'll get some people healthy. you know, to hear him say the best thing about the last 25 games was the emergence of campaign as a backup point guard did very little to excite the masses. I think you want to hear about Dunn, you want to hear about Markkanen, and you want to hear about Levine. The Levine thing, Vince, you'll know more this more than we will. That's going to be a tricky negotiation.
Very tricky.
If Levine says, what's the top level that they could give him?
5 and 148 or somewhere.
Okay, if he says, I want 5 and 148.
He wants that.
Okay.
Make no mistake.
Again, I want Kelly Rowland. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
What's your point?
If the Bulls say no, okay, what are their options if he says, that's what I want?
Well, no other team can offer that because, you know, basically it comes to your own team. It has the ability to offer you more. Atlanta has cap space. Dallas, Sacramento. I don't think the Bulls are telling him go out there and get an offer sheet because those things can be tricky. I think the Bulls are telling him go out there and prove to us that there's a market for you. And like you guys see with the Bears, you go out there in free agency, anything can happen. So you're better off coming to a reasonable number, not just for your balance books, but also for the morale of the relationship between player and management that's actually palatable.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Bulls would have liked to have gotten to the end of the season and agreed with that Zach LaVine that he was a max player.
Yes.
But they're at the end of the season and they don't agree. And I think that's where the problem is going to be, the tricky area, because they don't see him as a max guy right now.
But you can't complicate and make a bad decision, go, oh, we gave up Jimmy, we got to sign him.
Well, when you
either
trade
you
for,
believe him or you don't.
Well, when you trade for a player on a torn up knee and you know that he's not going to play till February, short of a medical miracle or some cream and clear, I don't know what Zach LaVine was going to be able to do this year to prove to you he's a max player with modern science.
Yeah, that's a great point. And this goes back to the first thing we were talking about, which was how much of a success was this season. I mean, you didn't figure out a whole lot about Zach LaVine. And to me, that's probably maybe the biggest problem as where the Bears sit or the Bulls sit right now. I'm getting my restricted free agents mixed up here.
Hopefully keep them out of New Orleans.
Don't let them go to New Orleans. And hopefully the Bulls handle this better than the Bears did. I don't know. That puts him in an awkward position, which I think what you brought up, David.
It's in fits and spurts. He played well in some games. That meaningless game against the Timberwolves that you hated.
He looked good.
Because it was
he
against,
took over.
Because it was against this guy, Tibbs. And he always that's the only game he mentions because it almost cost Tibbs a playoff spot. But he took over the game. He won the game. He won another game for them against Orlando. To me, that means more than whether or not you're actually going to get the fifth pick or the sixth pick. Because if you're a competent organization, you do your damn job regardless. Because those teams 1 through 6 are 1 through 6 for a reason. They're there every year because they're completely incompetent. Be better.
You're wrong, but thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
You're always wrong.
You're the man. Javi Baez had himself a series versus the Pirates. And the Bucco skipper wasn't happy about his antics, saying he doesn't respect the game. Baez responded this afternoon. You'll hear that next.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
Cubs crushed the Pirates last night thanks to 2 Javi Baez home runs. And Pirates manager Clint Hurdle, none too pleased with the way Baez was acting. Hurdle told reporters, "You watched their kid flip that bat last night. Where's the respect for the game? The guy hits 4 homers in 2 days, so that means you can take your bat and throw it 15, 20 feet in the air. When you pop up like you should have hit your 5th home run, I would bet that man over there talked to him because I do believe they have a group over there that speaks truth to power." Here's Baez's response a short time ago.
I bust my ass every day to play hard. I don't think no one plays this game harder than me. And I respect 90, I respect whatever, but you don't go out there and talk trash about someone. To be honest, I got a lot of things I can say right now, but I don't control what's out there, what people talk about me. But I'm just gonna keep playing my game. Last year was a player talking about my game style. Now this year it's a manager. So like I say, I don't control it. Whatever it gets to me, I learn from it. I learned from that bad flip last night, and that's all I gotta say. If anybody got negative stuff to me, they can save it. To be honest, that's all I gotta say.
I'm sure there was more he wanted to say.
Yeah, a couple thoughts here. Number one, I don't think it's ever a good idea for another coach or manager to cast judgment on another coach or manager's players, opposite team. It's probably bad form, right? So Clint Hurdle probably shouldn't be making, you know, statements about the behavior of other teams. But the second thing is that he wasn't wrong. And I think he wasn't wrong because the Cubs players were applauded by Joe Maddon for telling Javi Baez that was too far. You shouldn't have done that, right? Joe Maddon said before the game it was such a proud moment when he found out that players had called Javi on for the very thing that Clint Hurdle was criticizing. So Clint Hurdle wasn't wrong because Joe Maddon said so before the game. He was a little bit out of line. You don't flip your bat in the air like that. Javi himself said that was wrong. So, yeah, right message, probably wrong guy to deliver it.
Well, and I don't understand why Clint Hurdle took it so personally. I mean, have you seen this guy play baseball? I mean, he plays it with flair. He has fun. He's not flipping the bat because he's trying to insult Clint Hurdle.
He plays That's like what Russell he does. Westbrook.
Yeah, well, to his credit or detriment, we can debate that. He's always like this. He's not like this because he hit two home runs one night. This is the way he plays. I don't know why Hurdle took it as a personal affront. You know, unless he wants to play, you know, Major League Baseball police.
It happened to him.
Yeah.
Happened to him.
But you said it, Pat. This is one of the most fun players to watch in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, you know, I love everything about Javi Baez and the way he plays. It's just fun to watch. Baseball needs more of that right now as we talk about how boring these games are and how long they're going. So I honestly think, look, I applaud the Cubs and even Javi for saying, yeah, I probably took it a little too far and whatever. And he addressed this yesterday. But even there, I think they're kind of overreacting. Because first of all, I'm a fan of the bat flip to begin with. Just I'll
but
go
it wasn't
with
a home run.
No, but
it wasn't a home run.
But is that the problem that the ball didn't? So the problem is the ball didn't go out of the park.
It was frustration. Right. It was the equivalent of throwing your helmet.
You have a problem with a bat flip on a home run?
Well, because I think that, you know, there's some really cool moments in sports. I don't like the idea. Who likes the idea of showing up an opponent? But I think that's become part of the game that you just have to tolerate.
I also think that if Clint Hurdle wanted to play Major League Baseball sheriff here, he would have gone to Joe Maddon, not to the media, to try to get some sort of answer out of this. As it is, it comes across as he's just trying to embarrass the kid.
Well, he also criticized Contreras, in fairness. I mean, it wasn't just Javi. He criticized Contreras for mouthing off to the umpire, who, you know, for talking too much. So there might be a method. I mean, he might be wanting to, you know, put a bug in someone's ear somehow. There's a rivalry that's developing. They did just take 2 out of 3.
All right. 2 weeks from tonight, the NFL draft opens for business. Quentin Nelson visits Hal's Hall today. Could he be the Bears' pick at number 8? Or will Ryan Pace find another playmaker for his defense? So many options. One pick to use. We'll discuss all of them next.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Quentin Nelson, the best offensive lineman in the 2018 NFL Draft, was at Hallis Hall today, and he met up with Bears brass, plus his former college O-line coach, Harry Hiestand. What are your guys' thoughts? I'll start with you, Adam. Your thoughts on Quentin Nelson, who's a beast.
Best player in the draft. And I say that with a lot of respect and appreciation for Saquon Barkley, who I'm willing to say is right there as 1B to 1A. I mean, I love both of those players. But I really think the more and more I've watched Quentin Nelson talk to people who know Quentin Nelson, he's got high character, understanding of the game, and it's just a beast of an offensive lineman, which is the Bears need this guy. I mean, they really do. They need – if they're going to invest and talk about Trubisky the way they have over the past year, you have to protect him. That should be your number one priority. They have to get Quentin Nelson.
Well, that's a wonderful point. If Nelson were there, I'd take him. I've said this before. I'd float to the podium to take him. I mean, I would be thrilled if he was there. You can't have an offseason in which the whole goal is to surround Mitch Trubisky with the best weapons to be successful and then turn around and not take the guy who could protect him for the next 10 to 12 years. I mean, it's a perfect fit.
Let's go 5 to 8. That was concerned me when people
Nelson would probably outlive Trubisky.
That's a good start. He's I agree with you. He's the guy you could plug in and be the surest draft pick. You know, Saquon Barkley may end up being more spectacular, maybe more Pro Bowls, but Quentin Nelson's a guy you can plug and play right now. And for a team that has as many needs as the Bears have, I think that's really appealing if he's there.
What do you do if Saquon Barkley's there?
Take him.
Yep.
Take him, sort of.
Versus Nelson? Him versus Nelson?
Let's assume Bradley Chubb, best pass rusher in the draft, is gone. He's off the board.
Right.
Four quarterbacks is five. Minka Fitzpatrick, Denzel Ward, those guys could be gone. If you're looking, you go, oh, my God, Saquon Barkley's there at eight, or Quentin Nelson.
Well, or
here's what I would do. I would seriously sit down with Matt Nagy and give him a huge vote.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Because it's his offense, and if he believes
he hasn't coached one game yet.
Yeah, but if he believes Saquon Barkley is such a dramatic.
But you just said Nelson's the best player in the draft.
I know I did, but what I'm now you ask me what I would do if I was Ryan Pace. If your head coach that you just hired and is running this offense believes that Barkley is such a big upgrade over Jordan Howard and a fit for that offense, because remember, he has the ball in his hand. Quentin Nelson, if he has the ball in his hand, then some Mitch Trubisky pass went really wrong. So, first of all, I love Barkley, so take him.
I'd take Barkley.
Yeah,
well, the other thing, too, with Howard is, you know, in the 2 years he's been in the league, only two guys have more rushing yards than Howard: Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell. Those are two pretty good players. But in 2 years, you're going to either have to give Howard a new contract or let him walk. And, I mean, that's not going to be.
Can't catch the ball, Patrick.
I know.
I mean, he's a very good runner. In the scheme that they were in, he was a very good weapon.
Right, yeah.
But in this, he can't catch the ball.
And you could argue, if Saquon Barkley is there, that this is an investment. You know, maybe they coexist for a year, but then you move on. You get a second or a third for Jordan Howard if you can. And then you let somebody else pay him his second contract.
Okay, I asked Tom Waddle, could you get a third-round pick for Jordan Howard? He said no chance.
No, I don't think so.
No chance.
Not after you've drafted another running back, perhaps.
I don't think before. I don't think right now. If you traded him tomorrow, you couldn't get a third-rounder for him. No, I don't think the running back position is valued to that extent. You know, fourth or fifth, possibly, depending on where you draft. The Bears shouldn't be motivated to trade Jordan Howard at all. I mean, he is very productive, and you want him to be that transition guy. But if you got a shot at Saquon Barkley at eight, you take him. The ceiling is.
See, the guy I would love to see. I love Quentin Nelson, but I'd love to get Bradley Chubb. They need people and get to the quarterback.
Well, need, yes, you're right. But honestly, if I were to rank those four guys that personally I love, Nelson, Barkley, Fitzpatrick, and Chubb, I'd actually put Chubb fourth out of those four.
Boys, have a wonderful rest of your day. No more tank talk for you.
Flipping my bat.
That is
home.
A wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago is next. Then it's the Sox and the Twins at 7. You have a wonderful evening. See you right back here tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.